1 Corinthians chapter 1. Oh yes, sorry. Off to Children's Church if you're headed there. Open your Bibles with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Praise the Lord. Look at all those kids. That's great. In 1 Corinthians 1, you recall, Paul was in Ephesus. He had planted the church in Corinth, and this now is years later. He's now in Ephesus writing back to the church. Why? Well, because he heard that there were some divisions among them, some contentions, some strife among the brethren there. Some were saying, oh, I'm of Paul. Others were saying, well, I am of Apollos. They were great preachers. They were great teachers. And people in the church were dividing over who they thought was the better teacher, the better preacher. So hopefully to unify the church back together, he calls the church alongside with this letter. And today we come to 1 Corinthians 1, verses 17, well, probably 17 and 18, although I will read down through verse 21. 1 Corinthians 1, 17 through 21, though we'll probably cover only 17 and 18. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Paul is speaking here to the saints, and the Spirit of God is speaking to you and to me about ministry. And to be specific, about evangelistic ministry. Not all ministry is evangelistic ministry. Some ministry, we are preaching to the saints to equip them for the work of the ministry. And I am not seeking to evangelize you this morning, beloved, who believe in Christ, because you already believe in Christ. But some ministry is evangelistic ministry. It is like a good message preacher, where we are seeking to proclaim the gospel to those who are perishing, to those who are lost, that they might be saved. And Paul is speaking here about his evangelistic ministry, what he was sent to do, and how, and why. What was Paul sent to do? Not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. How? Not with wisdom of words. Why? Lest the cross of Christ be made of no effect. And because the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Paul had a ministry that was evangelistic. We too, as part of our calling to make disciples, we are called to evangelize, to make known the good news message. And therefore, it would pay for us to know a thing or two about evangelistic ministry. Now, I had planned to speak on a thing or two or three or four or five, but I have whittled it down to one thing. One thing. The main thing when it comes to evangelistic ministry. What is the main thing when it comes to evangelistic ministry? That's what I want you to get this morning. And it is not to baptize. It is to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. Make sure you understand this morning what that means and why it's important. Verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize. Stop there. Recall, Paul planted the church in Corinth. Now he's in Ephesus. He's writing back. He wants to unite them all. The problem was they were dividing. Some of them were saying, I'm of Paul. Paul says, I'm glad I didn't baptize more of you people, because had I done that, there'd probably be another party among you. The I was baptized by Paul party. But here he is transitioning into a discussion of his ministry. Why? To unite them all with him in a same perspective about evangelistic ministry. And he begins by saying, Christ did not send me to baptize. Question. So does that mean Christ did not want him to baptize? No. Christ did want him to baptize. How do you know? Because he baptized. Why am I bringing this up? Because some people think that Paul is saying here, Jesus doesn't want us to baptize. That's ridiculous. Or as some college people like to say, redonkulous. That's crazy. Paul just said that he baptized. Verse 14, he baptized Crispus and Gaius, two early converts to Christ in Corinth. One of them had been the ruler of the synagogue. Another one was apparently a well-to-do man that probably Paul stayed with for a while in Corinth. He baptized them. And, verse 16, the household of Stephanas, which does not mean he baptized babies. It means he baptized Stephanas and everyone in his house who believed in Jesus. That's what it means. Paul baptized. Why? Because Jesus wanted him to. But that is not the main thing in evangelistic ministry. Why not? Because baptism saves no one. Did you hear that? Baptism saves no one. Baptism does not wash away original sin. And those who preach and teach that it does are preaching and teaching a lie. That is a false gospel concerning which Paul says, let them be anathema. Baptism does not save. It does not wash away original sin. The truth is, by grace you are saved through faith. Ephesians 2:8. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the main thing in evangelistic ministry is not to baptize, but to preach the word of God. Verse 17, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, preach the gospel there is one word in the Greek. It comes from euangelizomai. Does that sound familiar? Evangelizomai, evangelize. Christ did not send me to baptize, but to evangelize. That would be a very good literal translation. Not to baptize, but to evangelize. To proclaim good news, to announce good news with authority, because it's the good news of God, and with boldness, because this is what people must hear. This is the main thing in evangelistic ministry, to proclaim the good news. And that's what Paul did. He went from place to place, from person to person, group to group, synagogue to synagogue, one person to the next, proclaiming the good news. And you know what? If people, by the grace of God, believed, he and those who were with him baptized. But even if no one believed, he had not failed. Why? Because he was sent not to baptize, but to announce good news. That is the main thing in evangelistic ministry. Even if no one believes, as long as you have proclaimed the good news, you have done evangelistic ministry. Beloved, it's the same with us. We are not apostles. We're not the Apostle Paul. So we are not called ourselves to do exactly what Paul did. And we don't have the authority that he had. But like Paul, we have been called to proclaim. 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are God's own special people to do what? Chosen to do what? Saved to do what? Made holy to do what? To proclaim. To proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. So what is the main thing in evangelistic ministry? It is to preach the gospel. It is to proclaim the good news, which on the one hand is this. The whole thing. From creation in Genesis 1 to consummation with a new heaven and a new earth in Revelation 22. This is the gospel. But, thankfully, it can be summed up in four words. In verse 17, the cross of Christ. If we are to proclaim the good news message, we must proclaim Christ. That is who He is, and He is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. And we are to preach the cross. That's what He did. We preach Christ, who He is. We preach the cross, what He did. The cross. That is the single greatest work of Jesus Christ. And when He says the cross, He means and the resurrection. Because the cross is empty. Jesus is not still hanging there. So the main thing in evangelistic ministry is to proclaim the cross of Christ. The good news is that Jesus, the Son of God, gave Himself on the cross as a sacrifice to God for our sins. Hebrews 9:26, once at the end of the ages, Christ appeared to put away sin. How? By the sacrifice of Himself. Ephesians 5:2, Christ loved us and gave Himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. The gospel is the substitutionary sacrifice of the sinless Son of God for our sins. And all the prophets testify of Him that through His name, whoever believes in Jesus Christ receives forgiveness of sins. Acts 10:43. That is good news. But listen. Because here's the main part. In evangelistic ministry, the main thing is to proclaim the good news, not with wisdom of words. What? What does that mean? And you know what some people think? Some people think that means not with words. As in, just preach it by your life, because, after all, people would rather see a sermon than hear one any day. You ever heard that? That may be true, but that is not the will of God. Faith comes by hearing, and God does not want you to merely live out your Christian life and never tell people about Jesus. That is not evangelism. It's not the main thing. Paul did not go from town to town to town and be a good person. And you say, well, Jesus said, you're the light of the world, I want to be a light. Yes, and He is the light of the world. Did He speak? If He had been silent, they never would have put Him on the cross. So not with wisdom of words does not mean not with words. Evangelize means with words. Preach means herald. Speak as a messenger. We are ambassadors of Christ. We plead with people to be reconciled to God. Not with wisdom of words does not mean not with words. What does it mean exactly? Here's where we have to focus. Pay attention. This is important. This is very important. It's the main thing in evangelistic ministry. Not with Sophia Lagu. Sophia, wisdom. Sophia here, wisdom is referring to human, secular, worldly wisdom. It's not referring to God's wisdom. He doesn't mean preach the gospel not with God's wisdom. Boy, no. He means preach the gospel not with human wisdom, not with worldly wisdom, not with secular wisdom. Lagu, from logos. And it's in the singular, not the plural. Not with human wisdom or worldly wisdom of a speech. Now, down in chapter 2, verse 1, same word is translated speech. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech. Same word, better translation, speech. The translation in 1:17 should be this: "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to evangelize, not," and I'm giving you an interpretive paraphrase, but it's accurate, "not with worldly wisdom of a speech." Now let's make sure we understand that. How many of you have ever heard a speech? Ever heard a speech? Yes, you have. You've all heard a speech. Speech class, or the valedictorian, or the class president, or maybe you've heard a politician, or maybe even the president. The president! I'm not giving you a speech right now, not a worldly wisdom speech. I guarantee you that, because I am going to step on toes. You've heard a speech, and let's consider, for example, a presidential speech. What goes into that? Well, I'll tell you what goes into it. Nothing. Nothing good. Uh-oh. Here's what goes into it. Somebody, and it's typically not the president, but a professional, well-trained, highly paid speechwriter. By the way, I Googled how to become a speechwriter, and the first line of the first article said, "Putting words into other people's mouths is tougher than it sounds." No doubt. And here's why. Because if you're a professional speechwriter, you had better write the speech according to worldly wisdom concerning speech. So what does worldly wisdom concerning speech teach? First, regarding content, don't say things that might offend or sound foolish. That is worldly wisdom of speech. You don't say things that might sound foolish or offend people. How about regarding delivery? Don't use a tone of voice that could turn people off, like speaking with authority. Whatever you do, don't speak with authority. Don't speak like you know the truth, because that will offend people. And most importantly, worldly wisdom concerning speech, regarding your aim, be sure to try and please men, the majority, your hearers, but not God. Worldly wisdom of a speech does not teach that you should seek to please God. You would seek to please men. So I thought, how about this? Do you think this would fly for the next presidential address? My fellow Americans, for the past few months, I have been examining the history of our nation, and at the same time, I have been reading the Bible. And it has become clear to me that for some time now, we have gone away from God and His Word. And we are guilty of a multitude of sins against Him. We say on our currency, "In God we trust," but we have taken His Word out of our schools, and we have passed laws that promote things which are an abomination to God, like abortion, drug abuse, and sexual immorality of every kind. Was it flying so far for a presidential address? Just make sure you understand that I'm proposing this. And I want you to think, would this fly? Would this work? Would I still have my job as a speechwriter? As a result, we have become a nation that is under the wrath of God. We hear things about global warming, but what about God's wrath? This is what we must fear as a nation. And I fear that unless we as a nation repent, we will perish. America, tonight I am here to tell you, it is high time we humble ourselves before the sovereign God of heaven and pray. We must seek His face, turn from our wicked ways in hopes that He might hear us from heaven and forgive our sins and heal our land. Would that fly? Never. And why not? Because it is not with wisdom of words. It is not according to principles of speech. It is not according to psychology. It is not according to philosophy. It is not according to human wisdom of rhetoric. It will never fly. You'll never hear it. it would be perceived as foolishness. Now, what I just said is all true. And our message is the cross of Christ. And how is that perceived? Verse 18. It is foolishness. The message of the cross, that's our message, is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. And yet, what is the main thing in evangelistic ministry? It is to evangelize, not with wisdom of words. We're going to throw out all that wisdom of speech class, and we're going to say things that offend. And we're going to speak with authority. And our aim will be to please God and not men. And you know what the temptation is? The temptation in evangelism is to do the opposite. The temptation in evangelism is to make the message a lot easier for people to accept. The danger is, notice the end of verse 17, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect, or more literally, lest the cross of Christ should be emptied. Emptied. So I want to ask the men here, how many of you men have been ever asked to empty the trash? Okay. Meaning, take it away, right? Empty the trash, take it away, make it so it's not there anymore. And then you did it and you said, I emptied the trash. Meaning what? Meaning I took it out, it's not there anymore. You know what Paul's saying? I was sent not to baptize, but to evangelize, and not with worldly wisdom of speech, lest be emptied, be taken out, be removed, be thrown away the cross of Christ. That's the danger. Is that a real danger? Do you think that there are people who evangelize but remove the cross of Christ? And here's where I know I will step on toes, but you know what? I'm not preaching here according to worldly wisdom. Have you ever heard someone present the gospel like this? Now, folks, I want to talk to you tonight about going to heaven. And I want you to know that going to heaven is a lot easier than what you might think. It's as easy as ABC. If you'll just admit that you're a sinner, and listen, we all make mistakes. Just admit that you're a sinner and just believe in Jesus. We all believe in Him, don't we? Just believe in Jesus and choose to follow Him. I tell you, if you do that tonight, you will be in heaven. Did you hear the cross? Did you hear the cross? I'm not going to repeat what I just said, but I'll tell you, the cross was nowhere in there. Nowhere. And the Bible never says, if you will just admit you're a sinner tonight and believe in Jesus when you don't even know who He is or what He did, okay, and choose to follow Him, that you'll be in heaven. And so the person says that and says, just pray with me right now and admit you're a sinner and believe in Jesus and choose to follow Him tonight and you'll be saved. And they all pray. Are they all saved? They never heard the gospel. The cross was ripped out. It was emptied like trash. And you say, does that happen? It sure does. And people who do that should be ashamed of themselves. You say, well, what are you saying? Are you saying that ABC, we can't sum up the gospel as ABC? I didn't say that. In fact, let me share with you the gospel using three letters, ABC. All have sinned. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, there's a God in heaven. He is a holy, loving, just, merciful God. But all of us have sinned against God. And for that, we deserve the wages of sin, which is death. The Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. What that means is what we earn by serving sin in our lives is to be separated from God forever in a place called hell. A, all have sinned and deserve the righteous judgment of God. B, but, that's B. But the gift of God, the gift that God gives, is eternal life, deliverance from the grave, deliverance from the judgment of God, deliverance from His wrath, deliverance from hell and the devil. Eternal deliverance. But the gift of God is eternal life. Where? C is for Christ. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you know who He is? He is the Son of God who came from heaven, and it's a faithful and trustworthy saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, 1 Timothy 1:15. And to that end, Christ lived a holy and a righteous life, never sinning. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin, but then He gave up His life on the cross as a sacrifice for sins. God made Him who knew no sin, that is Christ, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And you know what? Whoever believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins. So if you're here today and you don't believe in Christ, I call on you today to repent of your sins. Confess your sins to God. Humble yourself before Him. Cry out to Him for mercy and be saved. And I'm serious now. I'm not just playing a part here. I'm telling you, if you don't have Christ, or if you're not sure that you have Christ today, then today call on Him for salvation. And the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will never be put to shame. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God will wash away your sins. And yes, you should be baptized. If you trust in Christ today, you should talk to one of us. Talk to Pastor Dan. Talk to me. Talk to one of the brothers here. And say, I've trusted in Christ today. What do I do now? And you need to follow Him. There you go, ABC. I'm not saying it's a sin to sum up the gospel with three letters. I'm telling you it's a sin to throw out the cross to try and make the message more pleasing. Because the main thing in evangelistic ministry is not to baptize. It is to preach the gospel not with wisdom of words, meaning not according to worldly wisdom of a speech which says, try to please men, throw out anything that's offensive, and never speak with authority. And certainly never command people what to do, like repent. See, worldly wisdom of a speech would rip that all out. And you'd end up saying things like, listen, God loves you. He has a good plan for your life. And we love you just as you are. God wants you just the way you are. You don't have to change a thing. Lie. That's a lie. Repent means change. It means turn around. It means you're headed for the cliff. And some rip repentance out of the gospel message. They rip the cross. And Paul says, the danger is lest the cross of Christ, the heart of the message, be emptied out like so much trash. Why? Because you wanted to please men and you didn't want to be persecuted. There are only two kinds of people in this place today, in this church today. There are only two kinds of people. There are those who believe in Jesus Christ, are in the process of being saved. And there are those who do not believe in Jesus Christ, and they are in the process of being destroyed. They're in the process of perishing. And notice what it says in verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Here, all humanity is divided into these two groups, those who are perishing and those who are being saved. And to those who are perishing, to those who are headed for eternal destruction, to them, the gospel is and remains foolishness. How can you know that the gospel to them is foolishness? Let me tell you. It's not by them saying, well, that's foolishness. They may say that. But that's not how you know it's foolishness to them. Here's how you know. And here's how you know if it's foolishness to you. They don't obey it. The gospel is a message to be obeyed. The gospel has a command, right? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow me. Repent and believe in the gospel. But the way you can know if someone is perishing is that the gospel to them is foolishness. And the way you know the gospel is foolishness to them is they don't obey it. And we don't have time now, but read 2 Thessalonians 1 sometime about those who do not obey the gospel. On the other hand, there's a group here, those who are being saved. He says, to us who are in the process of being saved, what is the gospel? What is the message of the cross? It is the power of God. By this message, this foolish message of the cross, our blind eyes were opened to see our sin. Our deaf ears were opened to hear the good news as good. Our darkened minds were open to understand we need a Savior. and our hard hearts were softened to receive the word with joy and to sincerely desire to honor and obey Jesus Christ. James 1:18, of God's own will, he brought us forth. He birthed us, rebirthed us, really, by the word of truth. 1 Peter 1:23, we have been born again through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And therefore, beloved, I say to you, forever, as long as we have opportunity, let's keep the main thing in evangelistic ministry. And what is it? Not to baptize, but to evangelize, not in wisdom of words. Do you understand what that means? Yes? Oh, I hope so. Not according to worldly wisdom concerning a speech which says, don't offend, don't speak with authority, and aim to please men. We don't speak like that. No, we speak the truth in love, and we don't neglect the cross, lest the cross of Christ should be emptied from the message. Let's pray to that end. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this reminder concerning our evangelistic ministry. Father, please give us opportunities in the coming week to speak to those around us about Jesus Christ. Let us not neglect the cross. Father, we pray for the salvation of those who are lost. And we ask that you would use us and use our feeble attempts to rescue those who are perishing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.